Turn to your Bibles, please, again to the fourth chapter of 1 John. Fourth chapter of 1 John. I want to continue our studies in the series, but also in the portion of 1 John that I've entitled Blessed Assurance. I want to just pick, even though Pastor Sean read that, let's look at verses 17 through 21 once again. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, help me to be articulate and go through this text in the chronological order. May it be plain and simple to the people, yet be accurate to the words that are there. Thank you for the blessed assurance we can have as believers. Not only assurance that we are saved now, but the kind of assurance that will give us boldness when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in the day of judgment. Bless this message to our hearts, we pray. May it encourage us. As believers, maybe there be a challenge for the unbeliever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes says, he's made everything beautiful in his time. He has put eternity in their hearts. Everyone knows there's something beyond the grave. I don't care who the unbeliever is. I don't care how much of an atheist they are. Down deep inside, they know when they die, there's something beyond the grave, because God has put that knowledge in the heart of everyone. Yes. For believers, we know there is that, what that something is. It's what John calls in the day of judgment. When we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat, where our works will be put to the test. We need to have no fear, because there's no judgment there. It will not involve sin or condemnation, because praise God, that's all been dealt with at the cross. Everything was laid upon our Lord Jesus. In fact, our text says that we will be looking forward to that day with holy boldness, with a sanctified assurance, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit he has given us. And when that love of God that has been poured out on our hearts is used by us to show love and concern for others, all fear of that day of judgment is cast out. Major emphasis of 1 John is to give us believers infallible assurance that we are saved, while at the same time exposing the false assurance of those who think they are saved but are not. And one of the birthmarks that John uses over and over again in this epistle is love for others. Look, for example, at chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. See, that gives us assurance. But then for those who only profess to be saved, but he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So it is with our text this morning. In our last message, when we covered verses 12 through 16, we considered the blessed assurance that we have now concerning our standing with God, that we are now saved. But in our text this morning, verses 17 through 21, the blessed assurance that we will have when we stand before God on the day of judgment. look at your outline and we'll open up that second major line of thought. The blessed assurance that we will have when we stand before God. This blessed assurance flows out of the fact of having a holy and sanctified boldness when we look forward to the day of judgment, and now, and actually when we stand before the Lord in the day of judgment, we will have holy boldness on that day. Look at verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There will come a day when we all stand before God, the Creator of heaven and earth, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Those who are saved will be stand before what's called the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what has been done. But according to the book of the Revelations, those who are unsaved will appear before the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20:11, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. That's going to be a terrifying day for the unbeliever. In our text, John speaks about having boldness in the day of judgment. This boldness is such that we need have no fear. This is obviously talking about the judgment seat of Christ for believers, rather than the great white throne judgment for unbelievers, where there will be unprecedented fear. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, this is similar to our text, abide in him that when he appears we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, as you look at verse 17, you'll see there's three primary clauses in the text. Look at the text. First of all, love has been perfected among us in this, second half of verse 17, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And lastly, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now let's consider each of these phrases as they come to us in the text. First of all, love has been perfected among us in this. What is the one thing that John keeps emphasizing throughout this epistle is love. Look at it again. Love has been perfected among us. He uses that phrase over and over again in this epistle. For instance, chapter 2, verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God has been perfected in him. Verse 4 at the end of verse 12, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, if you look at our text, verses 17 and 18, he repeats it three times. Love has been perfected among us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been perfect in love. So that's his emphasis. Well, what does that mean? Well, the Greek word translated perfect doesn't mean flawless love. It doesn't mean absolute perfect love in the sense of being without any sinlessly perfect. It means it's a complete love. It's a mature love. And I think the best way to express it is that we love in word and in deed. And the best way to illustrate this, I think, is go over to Matthew 25. Would you turn over there, please? Matthew 25. Here's a good way to say, well, what do you mean by a perfect love, a mature love, a love that demonstrates itself in word and in deed? Look at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, Then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. A shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom for you from the foundation of the world. Won't that be a great day when we hear the Lord Jesus say that? If you're one of his sheep, blessed are you of my Father. Come and inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Now listen. And the king will answer and say to them, as surely as you, as to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Anytime you want to show love and compassion to someone, just remember, when you do it to them, Jesus says you're doing it to him. So that's, I think that's a classic example of what this perfect love is. It's not only words, but it's action. It reaches out to minister to everyone in need, whether you sit down and speak with them or supply their need or whatever it is. That's what he's talking about. So in these verses, perfected love is not flawless love. Perfected love is when you don't just talk about the need to share Christ, you do it. You just don't talk about feeding the hungry, you do it. And when you don't talk about reaching out to those in need, you sit down with them and try to help them any way you can. So that's the first clause. Let's look at the second clause. Love has been perfected among us, look at this, in that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And the word boldness means confidence, freedom in speaking, cheerful courage, assurance. The person who is loving fellow Christians, as illustrated in that Matthew text, will have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember chapter 2, verse 28? And now, little children, abide in me, and when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Brethren, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. The word have boldness is in the present tense. It means we can have boldness now. As God is working through us and we're demonstrating the love that he's poured out in our hearts to others, we can have that confidence, that boldness now, and we don't have to be afraid of judgment day. In fact, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Paul says, bless those who love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Or are you afraid? Are you afraid and say, oh man, I don't know whether I'm ready yet? Well, that's a good question to ask yourself. So we can have boldness now, but we will have boldness even when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, whose eyes burns like coal of fire, who's there in all of his regal splendor, with all of his glory restored. We can stand there with not a swaggering carnal boldness, but a sanctified boldness, because he's seen what God has done in our hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ. The day of judgment is a judgment seat of Christ. It's not that great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is for the non-Christian. The judgment seat of Christ is the place of evaluation of the effectiveness of our Christian life. There's no punishment at this judgment, because Jesus took all the punishment for every Christian. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. However, God will evaluate the works of Christians at the judgment seat of Christ for rewards. And if you look at the two texts in 1 and 2 Corinthians, there's going to be some works of ours that are going to burn up. And the ones that are left are the ones we're going to receive rewards from. There will be some whose works are completely burned up, but their soul will still be saved. If Christians walk in fellowship by manifesting love to other Christians, they can have confidence in the day of judgment. You see, if you're loving your brother as yourself, Paul tells us in the book of Romans, we fulfilled the law. We fulfilled the law. He who loves his brother has fulfilled the law. So there's a lot involved here in loving the brethren. How does the perfect love give us this boldness in the day of judgment? Because we are in this world as Christ is in heaven. Now the last clause of verse 17 says that the reason perfect love gives us confidence for the day of judgment is that it shows us that we are like Jesus. Look at the text again. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. When we're saved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who works in us and helps us be conformed to the image of Christ. That conformity will be full and complete when we see him face to face, chapter 3, verse 2. Notice, however, but in our text, John is not speaking about the future when we see him face to face. He's speaking about now as we live in this world. Look at the text. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Notice also, John doesn't say, as he was in this earthly life, but as he is now, the resurrected Lord in heaven, so are we in this world. And in what way are we like Jesus down here as he is up there? Well, give me an answer. I wrestled and pleaded with the Holy Spirit to give me insight into the meaning of this text for 3 days. Not only because I wanted to know what it means, but because it's the primary reason for having this holy boldness in the day of judgment. Look at the text again. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is up there, so are we down here in this world. That this portion of the text is difficult to interpret is shown by the fact that many of the commentators I considered either skipped over the entire verse or ignored this latter part of the verse. Also, there are all kind of various and sundry interpretations of the text. It was extremely frustrating because it's the primary reason as to having boldness in the day of judgment. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. John may mean that we are righteous, we are as Jesus is righteous. By faith in him, we've been justified, declared righteous in the sight of God, and therefore we look forward to judgment day confident that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Look at verse 16, and we know and believe the love that God has for us, and God is love, and he abides in love, abides in God, and God in him. But in our text, John is saying that we have confidence is linked with God's love for us. And that in some sense, we are as Jesus is. Let me give you my interpretation of it. He's found a few commentators who said the same thing, and it sort of resonated in my heart. There's many probably ways that you can interpret this. But we saw that God's love for us, and that we know God's love for us, and it shows that He abides in us and we in Him. But that's expanded and enlarged by our Lord in His high priestly prayer. Over in John 17, you don't have to turn to it. The Lord is praying to His Father. And He says in verse 23, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And listen to this. And that the world may know that you have sent me. Listen. And have loved them as you have loved me. Think about that. He's saying to His Heavenly Father, you have loved those you have given me in the same way that you have loved me. Jesus affirms that God the Father loves believers in the same degree that the Father loves Jesus. That's astounding when you think about it. Jesus said that the Father loves us just like or even as He loves His only begotten Son. I was going to say, think of the magnitude of that kind of love, but we can't. His love is far beyond anything we could imagine. That's how much God loves us. It's wonderful to be loved by God in the same way that He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how could God possibly love me like He loves Christ? Well, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You know why He loves you so much? Where are you? You're in Christ. Ephesians 1:6, you are made accepted in the Beloved One. And if God the Father loves Christ, He loves you equally because you're in Christ. Therefore, when John says that our confidence is based on the fact that we are as Jesus is, among other things, he means we are loved by the Father just as Jesus now is loved by the Father. And how incredible is that? That we can actually go to the judgment seat and stand there as confident because God's love for us is the same love He has for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can share His confidence because we get to that final accounting in that final day, because when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He really is. Beloved, now we are the children of God. He's the Son of God, and we're the children of God. We can be confident looking ahead at the judgment, because when we get there to that place, we're going to be made like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can live this life with absolute confidence, a sanctified boldness. We don't have to shrink back in fear of standing before the Lord on that day of judgment. That's just one of many interpretations from the various commentators and Bible scholars. But the third thing we see in our text, verse 18, that love that comes from God leaves no room for fear. Look at verse 18a. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment or punishment. The love spoken in our text leaves no room for fear. In fact, when we have this perfect love that comes from God, it casts out fear about the day of judgment. Loving others casts out fear because it's evidence of having passed from death into life. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Loving others cast out fear because it is proof that we are born of God now and know God, for God is love. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Loving others casts out fear because it shows that God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. Chapter 4 and verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. Love casts out fear because we know that we abide in Him and He in Him. He in us because He's given us His Holy Spirit. Verse 13. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. Love casts out fear because those who abide in love abides in God and God in them. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. All of these blessed truths allow us to have this holy boldness about the day of judgment now and will give us this holy boldness in the day of judgment when we actually stand before Him on that day. And in light of these blessed truths, there can be no fear. The love that God has for us and the love that we have for others leaves no room for fear. There will be no punishment for those who have been truly saved and are demonstrating the love of God for others. If you love like this, if you love in this perfect love, this mature, this whole love, there should be no fear. There's no fear of judgment. You don't fear the return of Christ. You long for it. You say with John, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We have no fear of judgment. We have no fear of standing before the throne of God. We can go there with the same confidence Jesus has there in the presence of God because we are covered in His righteousness. Because God the Father loves us just the same way He loves the Lord Jesus. And when we get there, we're going to be received as the children of God whom Jesus will not be ashamed to call us His brothers. Well, that's a marvelous thing, isn't it? Jesus will not be ashamed to call us His brethren. And we're going to share in the glorious inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're looking forward to the judgment, all you can do is fear punishment. You've got a problem. Look at the second half of verse 18. But he who fears has not been perfected in love. The one who fears is not perfect in love. Fear connects with punishment. And if you're afraid of that day, and you're afraid of the coming of Christ, and you're afraid of the rapture, then you're not perfect in love, because where this love is, it's shed abroad in his heart. Where this love exists, love casts out all that fear. This may refer to a believer for various reasons who are not reaching out to others. There may be those who profess to be saved, they just don't want to be bothered with others. I have to admit, long before I came into ministry, that's the way I used to be. I used to dream of having a house that had a mile-long driveway. And at the end of that driveway were two mounted machine guns. And if anybody would dare come up that driveway, both of those guns would blast away. You think I needed some help there in knowing what love is? I knew a pastor who had to be prodded to go visit the members. I had the members complain to me. I had to prod him to go visit the hospitals. He just never wanted to do it. They never had anybody in their home. They never invited anybody in their home. They should be fearful. Something's radically wrong with their profession of faith. I know pastors' wives who are so unfriendly, they would walk right past you and ignore you. You had to acknowledge them only, and then they would grudge it that they acknowledge you. I knew of a pastor's wife who was such a strong Dallas Cowboy fan that if her team got beat that Sunday, she was so upset she wouldn't go to church Sunday night. My dad would say she needs another dip. I'm going to say something, and I mean this, and I don't think I'm exaggerating. I worked in the state police, and I ran into an awful lot of unloving people. But some of the most unloving people I have known were those in the Church of Jesus Christ. When I was a young boy and went to this Christian Missionary Alliance church up in Belvedere, I always wondered why the men who were always attacking the pastor were the ones who had made the deacons. I always wondered about that. Why are the deacons always attacking the pastor? I guess they thought, well, let's make them deacons. Maybe they'll quit attacking the pastor. Well, it just gave them more leverage. But look at the last part of the text. But he who fears has not been perfected in love. It's more than likely that those who have this fear of the judge are not truly saved. We'll see that in a moment as we look at verse 20. Notice our love for God is a result of God's love for us. So we can't be proud because we're loving others as Christ loves others. We can't be proud because that love comes from God. That's not in us. That comes from God. Look at verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Praise God for that. Amen. We love because the characteristics of Christians to love. God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. Paul says in Romans 5, by the Holy Spirit that he has given us. We love because he first loved us. That's the key word. Eternal sovereign love was granted to us. Now we have to sort of change gears here because that's what John sort of does. I've entitled these next two verses, The False Assurance That We Need to Consider As We Wait Upon the Lord. The hypocritical contradiction of this false assurance, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? This is very revealing. It shows the true spiritual state of many who claim to be saved but are not. And John doesn't mince words about these phonies. He calls them for what they are. He calls them liars. If you say you love God and you never have time for other believers or for other people, then you're a liar. And then he enforces that by the command that exposes this false assurance, verse 21. And this is the commandment. We have from him that he who loves God must love his brother. How can you say you love God who you have not seen and yet claim to love your brother who's right there before you? Then he says, this is a command we have from him that he who loves God must love his brother also. See, God's not commanding our emotions. He's commanding our obedience in this case, our action in reaching out to other believers and ministering to them and meeting their legitimate needs in all the ways that those who Lord called his sheep. And if you want to learn how to demonstrate this perfect love, read and reread Matthew 25, 21 through 40, then put it into practice. You will find that showing love in this manner will cast out any fear that you will have in that day of judgment. For those of you who have not been saved, you have much to fear. If you die in your sins, you will stand before that terrifying great white throne, not to determine your guilt or your innocence. That's all been determined. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. If you're here this morning and you're an unbeliever, you're already condemned and God's wrath hangs over your head. The judgment will be to determine the degree of your punishment. You'll be made to endure the lake of fire. And one of the determining factors to the degree of your torment in hell is the number of times that you heard the gospel and refused and turned away. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11:23, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted into heaven, will be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works done in you were done in Sodom, it would remain to this day. But I say it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." What's the answer? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." I hope that gives comfort to those of us who are saved, who are seeking to show love for others. You don't have to fear the day of judgment. You don't have to fear that day of judgment. But for those who are not saved, you have much to fear until you cry out to Him for mercy. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Father. We trust these words are made plain and simple. We trust they were understandable. And Father, we thank you for the truth. Lord, what a wonderful thing to know. Not only have you saved us, but then you poured and justified us, then you poured out your love into our hearts. And we cannot help but turn around and love others. We have that tremendous reservoir of your love to draw from. May we be very diligent in loving others, speaking kindly to others, encouraging others, reaching out, finding their needs, and seeking by your grace to try to meet that need. Help us to be more zealous in loving others, we pray. And for those who are not saved, I pray they'd hear the words that came from the mouth of our Lord Jesus. "He has that not believed is condemned already, because he has not believed on the only begotten Son of God." May they heed those words and cry out to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.